Hello, my name is Cameron Estrich. I'm very pleased to be here today, and I'm glad to see we have such a great crowd. I'd like to talk today about sexually transmitted infections, of course, and behavioral risk in sexual minority women in Chicago between the years 2009 and 2011. And I'd also like to thank, right up front before I forget, my colleagues Bo Gratzer and Dr. Anna Houghton, who are both from both UIC and Howard Brown Health Center, for all their help and guidance throughout this. Just to give us a little background, of course, we know that gonorrhea and chlamydia are the most common reportable STIs in the United States, that they disproportionately affect women and women of color, and younger women particularly. It's been described elsewhere that sexual minority women may have more risk behaviors than heterosexual women. These have been described as more likely to have sex with injection drug users or men who have sex with men, more likely to inject or use substances themselves, more likely to use alcohol or tobacco. So in order to look at sexual orientation and sexual behavior, I used data from the Howard Brown Health Center, which is the largest LGBTQ health center in the Midwest. They serve a high morbidity population with members who have a very diverse range of sexual orientations and gender presentations. This data specifically comes from three clinical care facilities, the walk-in clinic, the walk-in STI clinic, the Broadway Youth Center, which serves people under the age of 25, and primary care. So the objective of this study was to describe the prevalence of gonorrhea and chlamydia among women seeking care, and then also determine if those prevalences or if their risk behavior varied by their self-described sexual identity. So all this data comes from routine surveillance collected and managed by Howard Brown. The gonorrhea and chlamydia infections were identified using gnats of urine, so they're identifying urogenital infections. All the lab data was then collected from the electronic medical records. The demographic and behavioral data is collected at intake. The behavioral data is only collected at one of the three sites, the walk-in STI clinic, and it's collected using self-administered paper surveys. Women included in this study were all tested for urogenital gonorrhea or chlamydia between January 2009 and August 2011. They all reported female gender on their forms and reported a sexual identity of heterosexual, bisexual, or lesbian. And then only the first of their possible many visits was included. Logistic regression was then used to assess any association between sexual identity, STI prevalence, and risk behavior. So the sampled women ranged overall from 14 to 73 years old with a median age of 23. Not quite half of them were white, 24% black, 15% Hispanic, and 10% Asian. The majority of them did identify as heterosexual, 72% did, but a full 15% identified as bisexual and 12% as lesbian, which was really encouraging in terms of just data size. Overall, 1.3% tested positive for gonorrhea and 8% for chlamydia, and that's of the a little over 2,000 women included in this study. So, of course, we found that prevalence of gonorrhea and chlamydia was highest among younger women and higher among black and Hispanic women compared to white women. But we also found that STI prevalence did vary significantly by sexual identity. And you can see gonorrhea in blue and then the chlamydia diagnosis rates are in yellow. Bisexual and heterosexual women had much higher rates of chlamydia than lesbian women. Lesbian women had only a third of the rate of chlamydia diagnosis, and that is a statistically significant difference. Gonorrhea, there were very few cases in this overall survey. There were only 29 cases overall. So it's not significant. It might have been, but we don't know. It is the highest rate among heterosexual women. For the future, for the rest of this study, the gonorrhea and chlamydia rates were combined because there were so few gonorrhea cases and because the infections varied in the same way. So the question, of course, is the prevalence varying by sexual identity purely because women of different sexual identities might have a different race or age background? And it is true that in this sample, women did significantly differ by age. Lesbians tended to be slightly older than bisexuals, who tended to be slightly older than heterosexuals, and by race ethnicity. Lesbians and heterosexual women had about the same racial and ethnic breakdown, but then bisexual women tended to be slightly more white, slightly more Asian, and proportionally had fewer black and Hispanic women. But when age and race were included in a multivariate analysis, you can see I've adjusted for age and race to the left, and you can see that it does not significantly seem to confound the results. The odds of gonorrhea or chlamydia infection, bisexual identity, show that bisexual women have about the same odds of infection compared to heterosexual women, but lesbians have a significantly lower odds of infection compared to heterosexual women, and that does remain true even after controlling for age and race. So if it's not necessarily being confounded by age or race, what other factors could be driving this difference in prevalence? As we see, risk factors do significantly vary by sexual identity. Lesbian and bisexual women had more substance use in the last year compared to heterosexual women. Bisexual and heterosexual women, much more of them had a male partner in the last 90 days compared to lesbian women, but a full third of lesbian women did have a male partner in the last 90 days. In terms of number of sexual partners, bisexual women proportionally had greater than one more than the other two sexual identity categories did. And lesbian women tended to have zero or only one sex partner. In terms of whether or not they had any sex in the last 90 days, they all were about the same. There wasn't any statistically significant difference. But of particular interest when we're talking about urogenital STIs, there was a statistically significant difference between whether or not women always used a condom for vaginal sex. So all of these risk factors were plugged into a multivariate model adjusting for whether or not they had sex with men in the adjusted odds ratio. As you can see, after adjusting for partner gender, both lesbian and bisexual women had significantly higher odds of using drugs compared to heterosexual women. Additionally, bisexual women had significantly higher odds of having more than one partner compared to heterosexual women, but bisexual women also had significantly lower odds of inconsistently using condoms for vaginal sex. So given that there is significant variance by sexual identity of behavioral risk factors, the next question is, are these behavioral risk factors actually driving any STI acquisition? So these are the odds of gonorrhea or chlamydia infection by behavior. Unfortunately, logistic regression did not find significant associations. This is possibly because the majority of gonorrhea and chlamydia infections occurred at the Broadway Youth Center, which served women under 25, and all the behavioral data is available from the walk-in clinic. But we do see a trend in the expected direction of increased odds of infection with each of these risk factors of inconsistent condom use, having multiple partners, having a male partner, or using drugs. And having a male partner is the one that particularly struck me because the magnitude is of the odds ratio is so much higher than the others, a full five times the odds if someone had a male partner compared to not in order to have a sexually transmitted infection. Presented graphically, I feel like this is a little more striking. Among women who, on the right, you can see the gonorrhea or chlamydia infection rate among women who had a male sex partner, just for the subset for which we had this data. And on the left, you can see the gonorrhea and chlamydia infection rate for women who did not have male sex partners. I think it's pretty interesting, if not statistically significant. But it is important to keep in mind that we can't necessarily assume that someone does not have a male sex partner purely based on their sexual orientation. And just using the subset of data that we have, of the overall sample that we have, we can see that among, for instance, lesbians who we might expect to not have any male partners, a full 30-plus percent of them did have male sex partners in the last 90 days. And this discrepancy between expected partner gender and sexual orientation is not among lesbians alone. A full 2% of heterosexual women, for instance, reported having a female sex partner in the last 90 days. So overall, I feel like this study indicated that not only did prevalence of gonorrhea and chlamydia range by sexual orientation, but that male sex partners was a interesting risk and a possibly statistically significant risk in some other study for gonorrhea and chlamydia, and that in terms of behavior, lesbians and bisexual women did significantly vary from heterosexual women. Lesbian and bisexual women had statistically significantly higher odds of using drugs in the last year compared to heterosexual women, and bisexual women also had more chances of having multiple partners or also using condoms consistently for vaginal sex. There are a number of limitations to the study. Of course, we depend upon patients' recall, And of course, information on people's partner's gender was and their risk factors were only reported from the walk-in clinic, not from the Broadway Youth Center clients, where the majority of the infections did come from. So there is limited power to assess the behavioral risk for gonorrhea and chlamydia. And we're only looking at urogenital gonorrhea and chlamydia. We're not screening for infections at other sites within the study, and also not including other STIs. In conclusion, I did think that this showed that behavioral risk factors significantly differed by sexual identity, how people think about themselves and present themselves to the world. But it's important to keep in mind that sexual identity and people's gender of partners are not interchangeable measures, and we can't use one necessarily to measure the other. Sexual behavior, therefore, may be a better predictor of STI risk than sexual identity alone among sexual minority women. So for the future, I would really appreciate it if clinicians could put the effort in to collect information on both sexual identity and behavioral risk factors like partner characteristics in order to effectively and correctly target testing and interventions. In terms of future research, I would really love to be able to look at other STIs such as trichomoniasis or candida species or bacteria vaginosis, which may be more commonly transmitted between women, also expand the range of other behavioral risks that we're looking at, and maybe look at other characteristics besides just partner gender that might be driving increased prevalence rates among bisexual women, for instance, in terms of sexual identity. So thank you very much. Thank you.